Continuing on in a series where we're looking at Scripture, specific areas of Scripture that either contain within them specific prayers or accounts of different people praying, is we're thinking about how it is that the Scripture can teach us how to pray. Today, we're going to lean into a topic that for many of us, especially for those of us who are in the American church, it often is something that we don't talk about. It's a topic that we're often either ignoring or trying to shy away from. It's something that for some reason, many in the American church are steering away from this type of prayer. And there are probably some good reasons why, maybe even some folks here have some reasons why. But I want to invite you to think deeply today about prayer of lament. What do you do with your pain? What do you do with your grief? What do you do with your frustration, your sadness, your anger? See, for many of us, we find that we're often ill-equipped to carry our grief or our pain well. In fact, in the American culture, when we grieve, we do this weird thing where we try to hurry it up. We are strange. We plan funerals around when it's convenient for everybody's schedules, because we think we can control that part of us. Moreover, we do this thing where we apologize for crying. Have you ever thought how strange that is? When we're feeling deeply and our body reacts, we apologize for crying. And so perhaps there's a wisdom that we can gain from Scripture as to how it is that we carry our grief, our sadness, our pain well, and what we do with our pain. My professor in seminary, Dr. Soong Chan Ra, wrote a book called Prophetic Lament. And in that book, one of the things that he unpacks, or at least notices, is that there's usually two common ways that we deal with or engage our pain. One is to try to escape it or numb it, whether that's through a substance, whether that's through trying to do something to our bodies, or maybe we'll just take a vacation. We just want to escape the pain. Still others of us, especially in like American evangelicalism, we kind of belittle the pain. We say things like, God's got this, or it'll all work out in the end. By the way, that statement, it'll all work out in the end, how do you know? Have you ever thought about the hubris or the arrogance that it takes to say, I have a cosmic view of the entire universe, and I know it's going to work out in the end? And so when we think about carrying our pain, I want to draw our attention to Psalm 77. This is if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn there. This is also available in your handout. For those of you joining us online, you can pull up a new browser and go to Bible.com, and we're using the Christian Standard Version of the Bible today, but whatever version you have is great. And in Psalm 77, we see raw, unfiltered pain. In fact, one of the things that you might notice later today when you go home and read your whole Bible, which I know you do, you'll notice that when you read through the Psalms, more than a third of the Psalms are songs of lament. They're songs expressing deep and profound agony or pain. They're songs that are raw and unfiltered, and some of the things that we even discover in Psalm 77 might make us feel a bit uncomfortable for the way that this text is speaking to God. And yet, when we feel deep and profound pain, perhaps this might capture what our hearts feel as well. You see, One of the things that we find in the Psalms is that the Psalms are, one author says, Psalms are the mirror of the soul. Too often we think of the Bible as painting a rosy picture on humanity, but in reality, especially as you read through the Psalms, one of the things you notice is that this captures the fullness and the rawness of the human experience. Far from trying to call us to escape, far from painting a rosy picture on it, the Psalms give a raw and unfiltered mirror of the soul. The Psalms tell the truth of our reality in somewhat profound and artistic ways. One of the things that you'll find in the Psalms is that there is not only individual lament and pain, but there's also what's sometimes referred to as corporate pain, or pain that we share as a community. We recognize that pain is profoundly felt not only as individuals, but also as a community. Emily Dickinson, the great author, said that pain is often missing in our praise. And she's right. I want to invite you to hold in tension the feelings of joy, elation, celebration, and satisfaction, and the feelings of pain and grief and sorrow and agony. Instead of drifting too quickly into some sort of victorious, let's just celebrate, I want to invite you to consider holding intention in your heart and your body things that may seem opposite, but in reality make up the whole. Psalm 77, as well as many of the other psalms, are written by a people who are persecuted. And one of the things that you may come to find is that persecuted people of faith are well-versed in holding in their bodies and their souls lament as well as celebration. And you will find both here in Psalm 77. I want to read the first 10 verses, and then we're going to pause. And if some of the text makes you uncomfortable, welcome. If some of the text causes you to say, I can't believe someone is saying this in a prayer to God, yes. That is one of the desired effects. Ready? I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and He will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of, what does it say? My hands were continually lifted up all night long. That's maybe another way to say I've been praying and speaking out or reaching out to God all night long. I refused to be comforted. I think of God and I groan. I meditate, and my spirit becomes weak. Real quick, have you ever been here before? I'm up all night with deep and profound longing, and when I even think of expressing that to God, I go, ugh. And yet I reach my hand up all night in prayer. Is this agony? Verse 4, you have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and I cannot speak. I consider days of old, years long past. At night I remember my music. I meditate in my heart and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject me forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High God has changed. What's this author saying? What are they feeling? You tell me. What is it? They're at rock bottom. What's this author feeling? What are they saying? Despair, anguish, suffering. Moreover, I'm going to ask the question, and I don't like how I'm going to ask it, but I can't think of another way. How's their faith doing? They're frustrated. Who are they directing their frustration at? What do they think is going on with God? God's changed. Up until this point, God, you've been good to me, but now this is happening. Where are you? That last line, your right hand is changed. That another way to think of that is the right hand is a way to talk about God's powerful actions in the world, the right hand of God. And what the author is saying is he's crying out in the middle of the night saying, every time that I meditate and I think that I'm going to pray, my heart groans because you changed. I mean, this guy. Who does he think he's talking to? Now, I want you to notice something. This is in the Bible. Man, like when I read this, I'm like, I would have edited that part out. I perhaps would have, you know, made it a little bit less. Blah. So why is it in your Bible? Why are more than one third of the Psalms echoing this same posture? Why do you think? Here's what I think. Is this not capturing the reality of the human heart? Have you not been there before? There are some of us who are there right now. And so what the psalm invites us into is to be honest with what's going on in here with the one who created us. Even if what's going on in here is, I don't even think you're active anymore. I don't even think you're looking out for me no more. In fact, I don't think you can fix this problem. Even if that's what's going on in here, the God who created us invites us to process our pain with him. Can you believe that? By the way, just theology nerd, sorry. There's this thing that scripture says about God, that God's all-knowing, like God knows all this stuff. So whatever you're feeling, he's not surprised. And so that raw, unfiltered, sometimes even, if you'll pardon me, sometimes even vulgar way that the Psalms record prayers to God, God is not going, oh my, I had no idea, Jim, that you felt this way about me. I'm shocked. So this isn't about information transfer. What's it about? Remember, we asked, what do we do with our pain? What do we do with our grief, with our agony? We can either try to escape it and act like it doesn't exist. We can try to cover over it, right? Self-medicate, whatever it might be. We can try to belittle it. Do you hear the author here belittling their pain? Or we can look it right in the eye and feel all the feels and then take all of that to God in prayer. Even if the way that we're praying is, I don't want to talk to you right now. Where are you? Do you see it? I want to invite you to consider how God might be inviting you to process whatever's in here with him in prayer, the prayer of lament. By the way, prayers of lament are not just something we're invited to do for our own pain, but as we empathize with others and we feel their pain with them, we can join them in that prayer. Remember, I said that some of these lament psalms are individual, many of them are shared. Like as a people, we feel this way. And we're gonna feel with each other and take that. give you just a little pastoral coaching, if that's okay. When someone else is experiencing, someone that you love is experiencing pain or agony, trying to fix it is not going to help. Giving tips is not gonna help. Saying trite statements is not gonna help. You know what does sometimes help? Is to pray the lament with them and say things like, God, this sucks, and I don't know what you're doing, but I'm standing here with my friend, and we're looking to you. See, solidarity, lament is a way that we can pray in solidarity with others to help take on their pain, even though it didn't directly maybe happen to us. So you have in Psalm 77 this raw and unfiltered expression of the heart. The way that this author is dealing with or processing their grief and pain is they're praying it, even though they're saying, I don't really want to talk to you right now. You're not doing anything about this. Where are you? Why are you not fixing this? Why did you change? Notice too in the text, is your generosity and faithfulness done for all future generations too? Now, I want to invite you to take a moment before we continue and draw into your mind pain. What is it that you are grieving or lamenting? What weight are you carrying? What is the thing that has happened or the phenomenon that's going on or the statement that was made or the situation that you find yourself in or that memory of something, though it was long ago, is still quite fresh in your soul? What is the grief and pain that you are carrying? And the invitation is to pray how that feels. And then there's a pivot. There's a pivot in Psalm 77. As you're carrying that pain, that weight, we're asking, what do we do with this? Well, first we speak what's true about us to God. And then notice what the psalm writer does. The psalm writer then speaks to themselves the truth about God. Notice in the text that the author has already said, I don't believe you no more. Are you good anymore? Are you even powerful enough to take care of this? Are you with me? That's how we started. Notice the pivot. We started speaking the truth about my heart to God, and now the author is going to pray what's true about God to themselves. Notice this. I will remember, verse 11, I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. What's he say that he's going to do? To call back to mind, to remember, to remind oneself. To bring fresh back into the brain or the imagination the Lord's work. I will reflect, verse 12, on all you have done, and I will meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. With power, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. What's the author doing? Reminding themselves of what God has done. Perhaps that might be instructive for us. When we're praying, the deep pain and agony is to rehearse or to remind ourselves of what God has done in our past. Notice this in verse 16. The water saw you, God. The water saw you, and it trembled. Even the depths shook. Now, that's strange language for us, but what this is getting at is the dark waters of the chaotic abyss shakes and trembles at the power of God. The author also seems to be riffing on the Exodus story as God's people were in agony and yet they were brought out of captivity through the waters. Verse 17, the clouds poured down water, the storm clouds thundered, your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast water, but your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now, some of that sounds strange to us, but I just want to draw your mind to this imagery of the people of God who have cried out in agony saying, will you even rescue us? And what the Psalter says, the Psalm writer says, as they're meditating on that theme in the book of Exodus, they see the chaotic ocean in front of them. The people have an army behind them. And then the water parts and makes a way through the chaos, death, abyss for God's people to find salvation on the other side. That's the story of the Exodus and the people crossing through the Red Sea. But notice what the author says. Check this out. Where was God when the chaos waters were in front and the army was behind? Where was God? Notice what the psalm writer says. Your way went through the sea and your path through the vast waters. So the psalm writer is looking back on the Exodus story, looking back on his people who were in between a murderous army and chaos abyss. You guys ever felt like you've ever been between a rock and a death place? And yet the sea parts, and what the psalm writer says is he's remembering God's work. He says, you walked through the water in front of us, even though we couldn't see your footprints. Psalm 77 shows us that God invites us to process with him in prayer whatever's going on in here, and then invites us to speak what's true about God to our own selves, even though we don't want to. And what the psalm writer says is, if you can zoom out from your perspective just for a moment and look upon what God has done, watch this now, God has brought his people through death by going through it first, even though you could not see him in the moment. See, this is the thing about faith, about the nature of our God. You rarely see it clearly looking forward. You rarely see God at work when you look forward to the chaos abyss that you're facing or feeling. But often, through prayer, when we look back at the parted waters and the way that he made, we see, oh, he was right in front of me that whole time, even though I could not see his footprints. So the invitation in this prayer of lament is to process the pain and then to speak what's true about God to our own selves. Now, here's the deal. Do you think that praying that fixed it for the author of Psalm 77? Whatever the it was. Notice that the Psalter doesn't say, and so also could you please make my boss go away. And so also with the footprints and all that kind of stuff, if you could just, like, bank account. Do you see it? See, so often we're fixating on God fix the thing instead of God, you're the kind of God who does kinds of work that restores all things even though I can't see it. So perhaps the adjustment is not primarily a focus on fixing the thing, although we're invited to process that with God as well. Instead of fixing the thing, it's fix my eyes on you, because right now I can't see anything outside of this abyss. Whatever it is that you're carrying with you, God invites you to process that with him through prayer of lament. And perhaps Psalm 77 might be a helpful guide or template as you engage in that process. Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. He is nearer to you than you are to your own self. He knows you. He loves you. He delights in you. He feels pain with you and longs to carry it with you in prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Danny to come and to lead us in a concluding prayer. Would you please stand as we conclude with this prayer song?
Thank you for that, Pastor Caleb. Perhaps Pastor Caleb's words have stirred something in your heart this morning, and you'd like to pray about it. Our prayer team will be here to pray with you after we sing this song. If you can't make it to the front, just slip your hand up and they'll be glad to meet you at your seat and pray with you there. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and bring you peace. God bless you all, and we'll see you next time.